Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
It's Tweaked Tuesday here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the most, just the radio chick, along with my sexy and my oh-so-intellectual co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. It is great to be here on this very last day of April 2013. Thank you for that introduction. I didn't know I was quite sexy, but thank you very much. And as always, excited for another awesome edition of Southern Sense with another great guest and to talk politics.
Yeah.
Just right up our alley.
Yeah, and those that are listening in, our upcoming shows are going to include Colin Heaton, who is an author who's coming back. He's got a brand new book just released called The Four Boer War. We have Niger Innes of Project 21 and the Congress of Racial Equality, followed by B.K. Eakman, who is also an author with a new book out called Cloning the American Mind, Eradicating Morality Through Education. She's also a very gifted speaker, and she used to work for the Department of Justice. And that will be followed by commentator and columnist Trevor Loudon calling in from Australia. And then fellow BTR host, author, and commentator Kevin Jackson. So we got ourselves a really great lineup coming up for the upcoming show. I want to welcome everyone to the chat room. And those of us that follow us on Facebook, I apologize for not getting the invites out to this show earlier, but Facebook has this thing where they're blocking those of us that are promoting our events from sending out invites. And only this morning was that feature on our site unblocked. So it just can't help it. Yell at Facebook and tell them that they've got to stop doing that to other promoters. All right, Mike, what
give
we got
them
in
hell,
store?
Annie, give them hell.
Yeah. You know, there is a Facebook page that I started up on Facebook. It's called unblock the invites on Facebook. So if you key in the words in the search bar for unblock the invites, our Facebook page should pop up. On there are some documents under file on the top menu bar, and those documents are what we've been using to help each other get unblocked. There's a link directly into Facebook that you fill out and send in, as well as emails that you can send to Facebook. A lot of them you're going to get an automated reply back, but it does work. On average, people have been blocked from 2 to 3 weeks. This last time I was blocked for 4 days. So I guess I'm getting a little bit better and maybe a little more vocal about it. So we'll see if we can get Facebook to get their act together.
I agree. Give them hell, Annie. Give them hell. That's my motto.
and
of course, as I text you this morning, for those who don't know, I was texting Annie a couple hours prior to the show. Up where I am in the Michigan, her congressional race, to which we had the Republican nominee and former governor, Mark Sanford, excuse me, and that's getting attention up in Michigan. Well, apparently it's a race where they kind of feel there's a domino effect. If a domino falls in favor of the governor, it's going maybe to throw some candidates to the conservative side. If the madam wins, because that's what you call them now, madams, if she is to win, they tend to think that that's a big swing. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the Republican stalwarts, the old backroom boys, are not throwing their support behind Sanford, which should tell everyone else out there listening that that's all the more reason why we have to get behind Sanford, because he does buck the system. He is a conservative, a solid conservative. All right, he had an affair. All right, name me a politician that hasn't had some scandal in their background. You know, I doubt there's a single one out there that is holier than thou.
Even us, Annie. I mean, you know, if anyone listening, I can tell you this, is that eventually, obviously, all this is going to come out on me. There's an awful lot of things. But whatever. You know what? We all have sometimes we leave a trail of fire behind us. So be it. The bottom line is I think you're right. And this just goes to show you how politics is politics wherever you go. Here's somebody who is not your standard Republican. He's going to go the conservative way, not necessarily the Republican way. And, well, obviously, it even has the president pissed off, so anyway, I just hope he wins. That's all I can say.
He answered the thing about his affair. You know, that's between him and his wife. There were ethics charges on him, but his attitude was, rather than fight the charges, I'm just going to pay the fines and get on with government, because if I fight the charges, I tie up legislation that we're trying to push through, I waste taxpayer money more than I would be repaying to the government. So let's just say, all right, call it a tie. Here's your money. Now shut the hell up and let's get back to government, which is what he did. And now they have this thing about him violating an order of protection when he stepped onto his wife's property. You know, that was a sealed court document. It was sealed, which means someone else violated the law and unsealed it and made that a public record. Now, the question would be, who did that and who stands to gain from that?
Of course. Probably some fat cats of either party that just start pushing their agenda. I mean, politics, you know, politics is politics. I remember an old watching a movie where they're going back to during the Kennedy era and the Cuban Missile Crisis, where they're wondering how did this person, who he was an agent for Russia and he was reaching out to the American government, and he said, how did this guy's nobody, how did he get to be such a big time spy? I said, he's a friend of Khrushchev. I looked at him and said, so, politics is politics wherever you go. And that's exactly it. Somebody leaked the information, because if they can't beat you, Annie, they'll smear you. It's just that simple.
And no one's talking about Colbert.
No, he acknowledged it. You asked him the question. He acknowledged. He apologized. He said he regrets it happened. Okay?
Yeah, but things happen between two adults that are married. And no marriage is perfect. Lord knows, I've been married twice. And each time it's a lot of work. And, you know, some people make it through, some don't. Some have it break up. And, you know, divorces are ugly. Heck, my ex-husband tried to run over the process server. You know, people do stupid things.
Well, not to mention this candidate that you have for the Democrats, seeing how her looks. You know, I'm always checking out women. Someone looks like that ain't going to have any chance to have an affair. God, she fell off the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down.
All right, well, before we get too sidetracked, everyone that listens to the show knows we start off with a dedication to a fallen hero. And today's dedication goes out to Navy Commander Robert D. Kemper, who was killed March 3rd, 1971, during a training flight from Naval Air Station Meridian, Mississippi. So this goes out to Commander Kemper. Robert D. Kemper was considered a Shelby County hero long before he was killed in the line of duty in 1971. And 40 years later, efforts are being made to keep that memory alive forever. Work is underway to memorialize the U.S. Navy officer known as Boo Boo, who flew 256 combat missions as a fighter pilot during the Vietnam War and was killed while saving another aviator during a stateside training flight in 1971. Kemper, a Shelbyville native, is easily one of the most highly decorated military sons to come out of the county, earning a coveted Combat V Commendation Medal and a pair of Distinguished Flying Cross medals among 46 Navy citations he received. But more than that, Bob Kemper was simply a good man, family and friends say, and one of those closest to him is working to establish a permanent cyber tribute to his fallen comrade. Navy Commander retired Hugh McGee, who flew multiple missions with Kemper in Vietnam, has launched a memorial page to his squadron mate in the military website called TogetherWeServed.com. McGee, a resident of Lemon Grove, California, is seeking local help to fill in details of his friend's life. We were best buds and roomed together on the aircraft carrier and flew a lot of combat missions together, said McGee, who retired from the Navy in 1974 after a 22-year career. To me, he was a hero. I just want to keep his memory alive. Kemper was a hero to many in Shelby County as well. Following his graduation from Shelbyville High School in 1952, he became one of the select groups of locals to earn an appointment to a military college, graduating from the Navy Academy in 1956. He always wanted to go in the Navy Academy. And when he got the appointment, we were so proud of him, said his sister Wanda Perkins of Shelbyville, the youngest and lone surviving sibling of six brothers and sisters born to Byron and Mary Hester Kemper. Perkins, 5 years younger than Bob, remembers her brother fondly. She recalls that when Kemper came home on leave, the family would meet him at the train station. Once, while regaled in full dress uniform, Kemper escorted his sister to the annual cotillion while she was still in high school. All the girls loved his uniform. But he didn't dump me, she said with a laugh. It's a fond, fond memory. He was an encourager. He made you feel special. I thought it was just directed at me, but I found out from the young men that trained under him, they all felt the same way. Perkins' son, William H. Perkins, Jr., is also in the Navy and is stationed at the same California-based Naval Air Station Lemoore that Kemper once called home. He absolutely adored his Uncle Bob, Perkins said of her son. Kemper was also special to Sharon Hackworth of Shelbyville, who was his second cousin. Hackworth, who was married to a former Shelbyville mayor, Neil Hackworth, was 16 years younger than Kemper. I would sit on his lap and listen to him tell stories about what he was doing, she said. We were so proud of him flying all those missions. And my father, William Kemper, loved him like a brother. He was crushed when he heard Bobby had died. Kemper, who attained the rank of commander, was killed on March 3, 1971, during a training flight out of Naval Station Meridian in Mississippi, where he was stationed. According to reports, Kemper was working with a young aviator when the T-2J Buckeye training jet they were flying encountered nasty weather. Details of such incidents are classified, McGee said, but he's confident in his assessment of what happened. The airplane started to ice up, like in a thunderstorm-type situation, said McGee, who flew 247 combat missions. It also got so heavy that he couldn't maintain his altitude, even at full power. He knew they couldn't make the runway, so he inflated his student's injection himself, and then he injected, but was too close to the trees. McGee, who earned a Purple Heart after his jet fighter was shot down over the Gulf of Tonkin in June of 1966, said there was no doubt in his mind that Kemper's actions saved his trainee, who survived. He actually gave up his life to save his student, McGee said. You've got to understand, there was just a few seconds to react. It was a self-sacrificing situation, in keeping with the Naval Aviator's creed. I believe he sacrificed his life for his shipmate. This show is dedicated to Commander Kemper, to all of the men and women who serve, have served, and are serving. God bless them all.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. My name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger. And I'll rise. I stand for my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand for. Those who will harm me.
My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon, and you can find that song and download it for free at toddallen.com. You also can catch it up on YouTube. And in very shortly, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I'll put this up on our website. I've got his DVD autographed by Todd that we're going to put up for a raffle on our website. And our new website, southernsense.webs.com, you can find a link on our show page. I put one up in the chat room also. You know, Mike, I updated that web page just the other day, and there's some really cool stuff on there. If people go in there, there's something called Rebel Mouse, which is up linked up on the web page, and that kind of like brings all of our sites together into one spot. So if they want to find us on Twitter, Facebook, soon I'm going to be putting a link up for Stitcher and Spreaker up there. There's a whole mess of good stuff up there.
That's really cool, too. I was looking at it. I'm still trying to make headway on it as far as educating myself on it. Very good. I really like that networking. In so many ways, sometimes it's so complex. Sometimes it's so simple, it's so complex. and I'll tell you, it's just back and forth. It gives all of us information right at our fingertips.
Yeah, it does. And you know, when I post something up into Twitter or MySpace, it'll show up on Rebel Mouse because that site draws everything all together and drops it into one spot. But some of the sites I forgot I even signed up for. And it's fun because now as I go through things, and also I'll get a message from one of the sites I had joined and saying, hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. And I look at it and go, oh, my God, all right, let me update that. And I link it. I bring it over onto our new site, southernsense.webs.com. And I throw it in there, so I link everything up. I didn't even know we were up on Blueberry. Blueberry also carries a live cast of this show when we're up. So it's not just Stitcher. It's also Blueberry and iTunes. Spreaker, I occasionally update that with a new show. So Spreaker doesn't always have every single show on there because they only allow me just so much room. And I'll be damned, I'm paying enough, monthly fees for just here on Blog Talk Radio and the website. I don't need another site I have to pay for.
Yeah. Well, Annie, as we're waiting for our guest, who we hope shows, I uploaded a clip from that debate that we talked about. Now, again, who is this lady? Who is her relations? I keep forgetting. For some reason, I keep wanting to think it's Jane Fonda. But
you mean Elizabeth Colbert Bush?
Yes.
Her brother is Stephen Colbert.
Okay, so she's obviously not from she kept talking these words that people use, the less whatever. You know, they don't say less fortunate. It's always the lesser or the it's not underprivileged. It's the under something. They describe for these people who are starving, homeless, freezing, naked. As if this lady has been born in the middle of the heart of the ghetto, and obviously she's from extremely well-financed family.
Yeah.
It's just sickening. Well, anyway, and of course, she was the one who brings up the affair, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I'll play it. It's only 2 minutes long.
Yeah, I've got a little bad news because I just received, as Todd Allen was playing, I just received a quick email from our guest, Michael Finch, that they've got a major disaster going on in their office, and he had to apologize and he had to beg out because he's dealing with whatever's going on over at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Obviously, something big is happening. Maybe we'll hear about it later on the news.
What city are they in?
That's a good question. I think they're in the D.C. area.
Okay. Could be anything there. Anyway, all right.
I think the sequester was poorly executed, to be perfectly honest, at the very beginning. When we look at just very basic cost cuts and spending, look at Medicare with $166 billion of waste, fraud, overbilling, and inability to negotiate our pharmaceuticals. The sequester was $85 billion. When we're talking about getting our fiscal house in order, we need to look at everything from cutting spending to what are our costs. So during the time when we're having all this fiscal spending, fiscal cutting, and back to the days where everybody had a furlough in the state, everybody was losing their jobs, and we were pulling our belts in. When we talk about fiscal spending and we talk about protecting the taxpayers, it doesn't mean you take that money we saved and leave the country for a personal purpose.
She went there, Governor Sanford.
I couldn't hear what she said. Repeat it. I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
Answer the question.
What was the question? Okay, but anyway, on the sequester, I mean, I'll go back to the sequester. Here's the problem with sequester, which is I think it's a real problem to not be specific on spending cuts, because all the people supporting you, those 37 members of Congress, consistently fought against me when I tried to infuse spending discipline in Washington, D.C. I mean, with all due respect to Nancy Pelosi, whose name I will raise again, but she is. She's spending $370,000 right here in the first congressional district. With all due respect to her and others, they have not pushed for financial discipline in Washington, D.C. So to disavow the $1 million that come in support of your candidacy from people who have pushed for more spending in Washington, D.C., to me.
Well, there you go. That's just the start of round one. I have another file being uploaded, but here we go. Now, okay, where does the sequester come in with all of a sudden somebody cheating on their wife to a few other jabs? I mean, and then the guy said, well, I didn't hear the question, because there was no question. It was basically a...
It was an attack.
Yeah, that's basically it. There was, and the person from the media said, answer the question. What question, you dummy?
There was no question in there. And to begin with, and also, he had absolutely nothing to do with sequester. Sequester is something that Obama just instituted because of the budget. And at the time he was governor, Obama had nothing to do with what he was doing for the state. You know, the fact that he took off and had the affair, all right, he repaid the government, he repaid the state in full for those expenses. He said, all right, fine, you know, I agree that I should be paying this and the state should not. The taxpayers are not responsible for it. So here's my money and shut up. It's over with. It's done. You know?
Did he step down?
Here with sequester, you've got Obama who's giving people pay raises. He's got a dog walker that's earning six figures. A dog walker earning six figures? And a cop is only earning $35,000 if they're lucky?
Now ask me
who is being fiscally responsible here.
We are in the wrong profession. That's all I got to say, Annie. Walking the dog.
Yeah, now, if I wasn't allergic to a dog, I'd volunteer. You know, hey, hire me. I'll walk your dog for $102,000 a year plus benefits and a retirement.
Yeah.
Give me that Benadryl.
I mean, that. I actually saw today one of the press conferences today with President Obama, just once again, more excuses, talking about just a variety of different topics. And, of course, the topic came up of the sequester, and same topic that came up in the debate. And he's talking about, well, what has to happen? I'll try to be as eloquent as President Obama. Both parties need to agree to disagree, but yet know what's best for the American people, he says. You know what's best for the American people? Take that budget and cut it right in half. That's what you do. I mean, these people better pray I never get there, because this is a question. This is what is wrong with saying, look, these cuts are gone, and guess what? We're going deeper. I mean, whatever the cuts may be, if they affect me, if they don't affect me, it's irrelevant. In order to save a sinking ship, you have to throw things overboard so it slows down the sinking of the boat.
Mm-hmm. And listen, we're going to have our phone lines open. So the phone lines are open. Join in the conversation. If there's something here that you want to talk about, you know, we're here. It's 917-889-3675. Unfortunately, our guest has an emergency, and last second he just sent me an email saying, oops, sorry. So hopefully we'll get him on in the future. They've got a weekend coming up over in Texas. Where's that thing? They've got a whole big stew. Where is this? It's a rally, Four Seasons in Dallas. The David Horowitz Texas Weekend, and here, what does this say? Program will begin on Friday night with an open reception and dinner and close with a breakfast on Sunday morning. They're planning a one-day trip to Fort Worth for a taste of old Texas, and details will be coming. Among their confirmed speakers are Governor Rick Perry, Colonel Alan West, Congressman Louis Gohmert, Congressman Tom Cotton, Jay Anderson Adams, Robert Spencer, Bill Whittle, Frank Gaffney, Daniel Greenfeld, Andrew McCarthy, Bill Gertz, Daniel Pipes, James Carafino, Pat Cadell, Stanley Kurtz, David Horowitz, and more. Go to texasweekend.org for more.
Wow.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like
wow.
I'll take a little bit of Texas. No problem here, since we've got Texas girl in the house.
Yeah, that's That is definitely, I would be willing to bet, Annie, that the food that they are going to have at that event, oh my goodness. Just when you're naming these people and saying it's taking place in Texas, I just like start drooling just right off the bat on just how good that food is going to be.
Some barbecued ribs, some collard greens.
What are collard greens?
You don't know what collard greens are?
No, that's a southern thing. I mean, I hear people in the movies, like when they're taking place down south, say, you know, I have collard greens and stuff like that. But no, I've never actually had any myself.
It's from the lettuce family. The long, leafy green leaves, dark green like spinach. And the way they make them down here is they boil them down with some ham hocks. And onion, a little salt, and that's all it is. You know, some people add different things to it. I add a little couple of different things to give it not so much of a bitter taste, to take a lot of the bitterness out. Some of us will take the water and drain the original water and put it back into a pot with the fresh water, take some of the acetic out of it also. There's different ways to do it. You know, collards are good. I make a mean pot of them.
Well, that
make a mean rack of ribs, too.
That was a good way of explaining it, that it's in the lettuce family, et cetera, et cetera. The only problem is you mentioned ham hocks, which I'm not sure what they were. But anyway, I got that next clip on our wonderful debate.
When we talk about fiscal spending and we talk about protecting the taxpayers, it doesn't mean you take that money we saved and leave the country for a personal purpose.
Everybody needs a little.
She went there, Governor Sam.
I couldn't hear what she said.
Governor Sanford, when you were in Congress, right, you voted for the Defense of Marriage Act and to impeach President Clinton for an extramarital affair. Would you vote those ways again?
Well, I would reverse the question to you, and I would say this. Do you think that President Clinton should be condemned for the rest of his life based on a mistake that he made in his life?
I would never vote against the Second Amendment, but we do need expanded background checks.
The very groups funding your campaign are against the Second Amendment issue. So I don't understand how one can, on the one hand, say that you're independent, and the other hand, suggests that I'm not going to listen to what they have to say, though they're funding my campaign.
They said in the beginning that they weren't going to talk about character, but I think character clearly came through, at least it did for me.
But I thought both candidates were poised. It got very heated, though, and you could tell Governor Sanford and Ms. Colbert-Bush were definitely going at it.
Well, no kidding, Annie. Just a simple fact. She says I'm. That's like saying I'm for the Second Amendment, but okay. That's Sarge. That's Sarge who always says on our show, "I'm a constitutionalist." However, however, what?
Well, you know, there's also a major point that was missed. You know, here President Clinton violated the law. That's the huge difference. He lied under oath. He committed
and not under
perjury.
Oath and he lied not under oath as well when he
but
said
he committed perjury, yeah. And that is what the impeachment was about, the perjury charge, not the affair, but the perjury. Now, Governor Sanford did not commit a crime. He committed a sin, and there's a difference between a sin and a crime. President Clinton not only committed a sin, but he also committed a crime.
Annie, just a quick question, because I don't want to get off topic here as we kind of focus on the debate. Financially, how has Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky made out from that scandal?
Oh, gee, very well. And no one asked Bill Clinton to pay back for the time and the servants that served the two of them while she was having the affair.
Yes,
you know?
And Monica has done exceptionally well. If you Wikipedia her wealth, she's worth several million dollars. To which, all right, you know, I don't want to get into, oh, Mike is blah, blah. No. However, without that, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Without that, Monica's worth probably somewhere between my status and Annie's status. But, however, since she did get involved in this, she's now worth astronomical amounts of money. She will never have to worry about food on the table and clothes on her back and nice living in a nice home for the rest of her life, which, keep in mind, I don't even think she's 30 yet, but either way, it's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, no, Bill Clinton should not have to suffer for it the rest of his life. However, he did lie repeatedly, and he even said, turn those cameras on. I want everyone to hear this. I did not have sexual relations with that girl, Ms. Lewinsky. And this is the same thing. He goes, I never told anyone the lie, not a single time. This is exactly what Elizabeth Colbert is saying. I'm for the Second Amendment. However, we need background checks, which means who? Where does that information go for those background checks, Annie? To whom? The same people why the Second Amendment is in there that would fight, so they know who has the guns. Hello?
It's a way to get us all to be gun registered on a federal database. Now, I was going to get back to Monica Lewinsky for a second because I'm going to go somewhere that you don't expect me to go. Monica Lewinsky pulled a Marilyn Monroe. When Marilyn Monroe finally made it big and she was wealthy enough that she could pick and choose whatever film role she wanted, she said, I will never have to give another blowjob again. That's our Monica Lewinsky.
What did you just say? I didn't hear you, Annie. You got to repeat that. It broke up coming through. Say that again. It broke up. I'm just. There you go. Bingo. I mean, I really think, okay, and first of all, they mentioned that Mr. Sanford, she's bringing this up, okay? She's bringing it up, both clips, obviously, and which is, the underdog is aggressive, we understand that. And she's entitled to, okay? Obviously, I'm a little biased to who I'm supporting here. However, realistically, Annie, he's obviously was your governor, and he obviously is running in your district for Congress. How many times has this guy apologized? How many times has he had to have, you know, told the story of this over and over and over and over and over? And
at every single stop he makes, every person he talks to, the question comes up and he answers it openly and honestly.
Now, prior to getting the guests on our show, you were part of the group that the group that filtered these people, or what, you know what I'm saying?
It was the vetting process. That was the South Carolina Tea Party convention.
Okay. Did that come up at all to the governor?
Yes, it did. And he answered it again openly and honestly. Not once, but twice. Once through the vetting process behind closed doors with a set group of people, And then openly, there was an open forum where all the candidates sat at a big, long dais, and each one was asked questions, and he was asked that question. I believe that on the dais he was asked twice about that question. So it was in the back room and at the dais. You know,
and
he's been answering that question since the day he became a candidate. And you know, and rightly so. Yeah, rightly so. The voters want to know, who am I voting for? You know, am I voting for someone who's going to say one thing and do something else? Or are you going to stand openly and honestly? And I think he's going to stand openly and honestly. He was a very conservative governor. He helped our state get ourselves into a financial good standing. I mean, it was horrible when he took over. I mean, still got a lot of work to do, and Haley's doing the best she can at this point. But I'm telling you, the reason why you should back him is because mainstream Republicans, you know, the fat cats like the Karl Roves, are the ones that are saying, I'm not supporting this man. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley just announced that she's going to support Sanford. So she's come out openly saying, this is the guy you should vote for. So because mainstream's not doing it, and those of us that are conservatives saying, this, you know, you're voting for the man with the right policies. You don't want to put a woman in there, not because she's a woman, but you don't want to put a person in there that has known ties to Nancy Pelosi, honestly, you know. Direct ties to Nancy Pelosi through her funding. That was over $300,000 Pelosi threw behind him.
I also like this part, too, Ann, is that, okay, you outright heard. You know, sometimes, honestly, I just want to grab these people, and I know this tape is going to come back behind me. I just want to reach through the radio and just strangle these people. When she says, I'm my own person, I will not be bestowing to it. If somebody gives you $300,000, or, for example, if someone gives you $10,000, hello, if you're a politician, when that person calls you on the phone, you're going to listen, let alone when they give you more than $250,000. I mean, who in the hell are these morons thinking they're addressing? I mean, baseballs? do you mean to really tell me somebody is responsible for getting hundreds of thousands of dollars into your campaign, yet when you get elected, you will not pay back a favor or come on. You and I, everyone, you're not that person's slave, but you definitely become part of that group. I mean, it is beyond ridiculous to even make that stupid statement that, and incidentally, I don't know of one fiscal conservative that Nancy Pelosi has supported. So Elizabeth must, she must have been knocked off the mule like St. Paul and asked, why are you persecuting me? Because to my knowledge, I'm not sure Nancy Pelosi has ever supported a conservative. I mean, I cannot even tell you how I just want to punch these people.
But, you know, there's a purpose behind Pelosi. There's a reason why she's doing this. The more Democrats she can get back into the House, the better chance she has once again to hold that gavel. She wants to be Speaker again.
Oh, of course.
She is dying to become Speaker again. And this is what we have to prevent. You know, everyone's still looking for another Ronald Reagan. You know, folks out there, get over it. There is only one Ronald Reagan. There's not going to be a number two. So what we have to do is look at what we currently have and pick out the best out of what we have. You know, you can't get another Reagan, so stop looking for him. Look at these individuals we have coming up in the party now and look at them for their own value. Don't try to compare him against Reagan. You know, Reagan is already gone. Forget about it. You know, he's not coming back. You know, he's not. His name is not Lazarus. So, you know, just face it, Flounders. We just got to move forward. Stop looking backwards.
Yeah,
man.
Very true. And, I mean, in a lot of ways, we have to understand, too, that the GOP has changed from the 90s. From the Contract with America, led by Newt, and several other very, very good conservatives, who basically did only so many years and went back to their own business, and you know, and I agree with that. I think at least Governor Sanford is a step in that direction. But my whole point, Annie, is that, okay, look, we all know your opinion. Say you run for a office. We won't even name the office. My favorite thing, office A or office B, because you know I love that. Okay, say you are elected to office A, and somebody holding office B helped get you there and gave you $300,000 on the way, or helped raise that much money for you. Are you mean to tell me if that person calls you on the phone, you're going to say, take a message, or tell them I'm out of the office, or I'll get back to them? Please. I mean, it just gets so, it's almost so condescending when they just lie like, oh, I'm my own person. Not if you get elected, you're not. That's part of the game.
Amash.
Go ahead.
If anyone watched that debate, she, when Sanford was running for Congress, I believe it was, she donated $300 to him. And
oh, really?
At that point, she was working with Charleston Harbor, doing something with the dredging. And Sanford says, yeah, I'm all for dredging, but I'm not for using earmarks to do the dredging. You've got to find the funds somewhere else. You know, I'll support the dredging, but not the earmarks. So she's turned that against him and said that he didn't support the dredging, which was completely false. He did not support the earmarks. He said, find the money elsewhere, which they just insisted on earmarks. So, of course, he's going to vote it down. You know, it's things that they do and twist. You know, that's why I said you need someone that is going to be honest with the public. And as far as I know, Sanford has always done that. I mean, you got to picture this man carrying these two piglets onto the South Carolina Senate floor, piglets, because he was telling them cut the pork out of the budget, and he did it dramatically. You just get that picture. Just imagine that picture. All these people dressed decorously, and like, oh, we're state senators and representatives, and we're the mucky mucks here, and he comes in with these two pigs.
That is awesome. I love that.
Oh, man. It's great. Those that are listening in, our guest had an emergency, so Michael Finch will not be joining us today, unfortunately. So our phone lines are open. It's 917-889-3675. We'd love to hear from you and see what you have to say about what's going on today. Hey, this
another
is Michael.
Thing, too. Hang on real quick. When we had Mr. Sanford on, didn't we have a troll or a one of the opposition called in?
That was the call. That was one of the few that came in, and he deliberately targeted Mark Sanford, and that was funny.
Yeah,
and Sanford
handled
it like a gentleman, you know?
Yeah, when do we get to meet your girlfriend? Or and he's like, whenever you want, come on over. But, I mean, this is again, look, okay, I am – politics is a dirty business, and we know – in politics, I mean, there are some races where there are no rules. I mean, there is more mud slinging. It's not even mud. It's whatever's worse than mud. But I mean, when you debate, for example, I will call the governor of my state a sociopath, and I will by definition prove he never tells the truth. But all he's focused on is basically the car, and it doesn't matter who he runs over or what's taken effect, it just keeps going forward, which I believe I have the info to back it. When you are saying that, okay, great, and he's going to call me irresponsible and bring up, and that's fair enough. I've done all this. That's true. I'm guilty of it. But if you say something just so stupid to where is, you say this person is giving me hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you say I'm not bestowed. I can tell you right now, if somebody gives me $100,000 for a campaign, they call. I'm going to answer the call. No, they're going to call my cell phone. I don't care if I'm on the phone.
If they call in the middle of the night, you're going to be answering that phone.
That's right. I mean, it's just so.
It's a blatant lie to say that she's going to not answer to Pelosi. It's a blatant lie.
Well,
number one,
that,
Pelosi being the leadership of that party in the House, who are you taking your marching orders from? You know?
Yes. Not to mention, it is Nancy Pelosi. It isn't
like
she's – I mean, it's Nancy Pelosi. Hello?
if you want any of your bills to come up on the floor, you've got to kowtow to the Queen. If you want to be on any committee, you've got to kowtow to the Queen. So to say that she would not be beholden to Nancy Pelosi is a blatant lie.
It is, and it's I take it, the reason I'm dwelling on this is I just take offense to how they talk down to people. Is there anyone on the planet, anyone outside of, is this lady even married?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why she's got the last name of Bush.
Oh, that's right. Stupid me. But anyway, outside of her husband and her kids, is there one person on this planet, including the devil himself, that believes her? I mean, this is just, it is almost like me saying, well, you know, whatever. I mean, for me to say, I got involved in Playboy Energy strictly because it's a business. Yeah, hello, like anyone's going to believe that. It aggravates me to no end when they are candidates running that they will basically just say something so ridiculously dumb. But then she follows it up with something even stupid. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, but
yeah.
And then he cheated on his wife. And incidentally, this affair didn't happen yesterday. This affair happened quite a while ago. And if
Four years ago.
Yeah, he is engaged to this lady, by the way, just so everybody knows. Or he might have married her. No, I think
he's engaged to her. Okay, I believe they had a wedding planned after the election.
Yeah.
Now, if anyone thinks that Colbert Bush is not going to be beholden to Pelosi, look what happened to Justin Amash and Tim Hill's camp when they bucked the system under Boehner. Boehner tossed them off the committees. You know, Tim Scott is holding on by just the skin of his teeth, you know, onto the committees he's got simply because he's got the national recognition. You know, he's also got support behind him that said if Boehner tried to make any move against Tim Scott by kicking him off with any of these major committees he's on, there's going to be one heck of a backlash. So that's why, you know, Tim Scott is hanging on to his position, and I just hope he makes it stronger and stronger because Tim's a good man.
Well, one of the things we have to remember, okay, is that politics is politics. Any race, you don't try to sell your soul, but in order to get where you need to get, pieces of you are sold. Here's a great example. Many of the athletes who were drafted in the NFL draft this weekend, a lot of their initial signing bonuses or contracts go to a variety of different people who helped them get to where they are, whether it's an agent or whoever it is, whatever it is, a boxer when he fights for the championship, that you have to sell off pieces of yourself to get to a championship game. It's that way in politics. And, all right, this will be my last on it. For her, this debate was on national television. It's obviously getting media attention all over the country. So for her to address that and to make those statements right in a row, to challenge, okay, you can challenge his morality. He's got that coming. But to say I support the Second Amendment, but then to also say I'm not, you know what, if Nancy Pelosi gets me elected, Annie, you might want to kick me off your show because I might be helping her. I don't know what else I can say other than it's just I just hate that condescending, looking down, talking down, you're talking to kindergartner mentality coming from this candidate who portrays herself as somebody who's from poverty, from extreme poorness.
She's not. She definitely is not. If anyone looks at Stephen Colbert, you know, that's part of the Hollywood elite, and that's what she wants to become a part of, the Pelosi Hollywood elite.
Well,
and as for the Second Amendment,
go ahead, Annie.
As for the Second Amendment, they keep on saying, you know, this thing about strengthening the background checks. Well, let me give you a little heads up here, folks. The only people that end up having the background check are those legally purchasing a weapon that have the right to legally purchase a weapon. If you're not legally able to purchase a weapon, you're going to go out on the street and buy one illegally with no background check. So the only people that get background checks are legal, law-abiding citizens. And you will
really?
Not catch a single bad guy that way.
So, go ahead.
It's not the answer. And they keep on saying, well, what about these internet sales? If anyone has tried to buy a gun on the internet, knows that you still have to do a background check. It's federally required. You still go through a background check on internet sales. So don't give us that excuse. And they said, what about these private sales and gun shows? Well, I've been to a few gun shows, and you go through a background check, folks, right there on the spot. They have internet connections at these things where they run the check right then and there. I watched them do it. So gun shows already have them, okay? Now they're saying, what about these private sales or private exchanges? So you want to make it a crime if a father and son go out hunting and the father gives the son a gun to hunt with or to target practice with, you know, plunk cans or whatever they're going to do, that makes that transfer illegal unless you do a background check. How far do you want the government in our homes, in our living rooms? You know, a parent should be able to give a child whatever gift they choose. And don't make them put their own child through a background check. You're going to go a background check on a 12-year-old? What major crime do they commit by the age of 12? You know, steal the apple off the neighbor's tree? It's ridiculous. It's just an excuse to get everyone onto a national gun registry.
In the same manner Hitler did. Well, anyway, let me play the Second Amendment clip. And Alan Geese, he must have been listening to Annie.
I was asked a question about whether or not people should have access under our Constitution and laws to automatic weapons. And I referred the reporter to the factual situation. That, in fact, under our Constitution and laws, such access is allowed. I will state boldly, though, that I am a supporter of the Second Amendment, and I believe strongly that law-abiding citizens should have their right to keep and bear arms left intact. The gun control mentality is ruthlessly absurd. It suggests that you pass a law which will bind law-abiding citizens. They won't have access to weapons. Now, we know that criminals, by definition, are people who don't obey laws. Therefore, you can pass all the laws you want. They will still have access to these weapons, just as they have access to illegal drugs and other things right now. That means you end up with a situation in which the law-abiding folks can't defend themselves, and the crooks have all the guns. I don't believe in arming the criminals and protecting the criminals while leaving the law-abiding citizens disarmed and telling our police that they must work under every disadvantage. That doesn't serve order, it doesn't serve law, and it doesn't make sense.
You remember the law school shooting last week in Grundy, Virginia? Well, John Lott Jr. of the American Enterprise Institute wrote a fascinating column in the New York Post today in which he pointed out that in only four of about 280 stories that he found on LexisNexis about that shooting, did they mention the fact that, remember, there was a shooting and a professor was killed, the dean was killed, and then a bunch of students is reported to have subdued the shooter. You know what they failed to tell you? They failed to tell you that two of the students who initially were able to subdue that gunman were themselves armed. They ran, got their weapons out of their vehicles, came back, pointed them in the direction of the gunman, were able to disarm him, and then other students joined them in subduing him. Now think about that. Why is it that they use things like this as the poster stories of gun control, and yet when you examine the fact of an episode like this, it turns out the guns were used by law-abiding citizens to avoid greater death and mayhem. And in fact, there are a lot of reason to believe that when responsible citizens are encouraged in the appropriate, responsible, and educated use of firearms in self-defense, they are able to avert disaster. Not a bullet was fired by them in doing this. And that happens hundreds of times every year. But you don't read it in the press. That's more than bias. That's the kind of thing that could distort our judgment and lead us into a very bad mistake about our own defense. That's my sense of it. Thanks for being with me.
Well, yeah, there you go, Annie.
You know, there's something that he brings up very interestingly. You know, people talk about the number of gun deaths in America, and they throw this number at you, this abstract number about how many gun deaths there are in the United States compared to any other country. What they don't include is, number one, how much of this is done by illegal guns versus legally owned guns. They don't separate those figures. They don't say how many deaths are averted because of the legal use of weapons, of guns. They don't throw that number at you. And I'm willing to bet for every single wrongful death by a firearm in the United States, there are probably hundreds that are averted by the legal use of a firearm. And no one is giving you that number. They're scaring you. Gun control is what we need. Gun control, and we've got to have it right now. Yeah, the gun control I support is a steady hand and a smooth pull on the trigger. That's my gun control.
Amen to that, Annie. Amen to that.
We've got a caller coming in, so let's see who this is calling in. Area code 816, you're on the air with Southern Sense. I'm your host, Annie, along with Cool Mike. Who am I speaking to?
Long-time listener, very few caller. Hi, Annie.
Hey, Thomas.
A stranger in the house. Welcome back, Thomas.
How are you guys? You guys,
Thomas,
are missed by me.
Thomas, your team made a nice run there in the Final Four. Thomas, you're in Wichita, aren't you, Thomas?
I was in Wichita. I'm back in Kansas City.
Oh, okay. Well,
but yeah, they did. They did a good job and was pretty proud of them, even though I'm a Kansas Jayhawks fan. But I just wanted to weigh in real quick on the gun control issue in light of everything that's going on. Where I'm staying with my mom, just a few days ago, they found a 14-year-old boy who had been killed. And everybody was freaking out and stressing out, okay, who did it, who did it? And come to find out, his 12-year-old brother was the one who killed him because they were playing with a gun. Now, as Annie, and I'm sure you guys probably brought up before I came on, why isn't there any talk of the illegal accessing of guns? Not only by criminals, but by people who's underage, who have having a gun. And in the inner cities, that is a rampant, very bad problem, especially in, you look at Chicago, you have all these 12, 13-year-old gang members carrying Glock 9s and all this stuff and holding them sideways while they're trying to shoot people, and they can barely tie their own shoes.
Yeah, it's the gangster mentality, and TV and the media propagates that.
And as Alan Keyes pointed out, he said, okay, let's play pretend here. We got Thomas on the line, so we got three. Cool Mike and his favorite pretend games. All right? The law is right now guns are banned, period. The only people who are allowed to have guns are law enforcement, those who are authorized by law. Okay, complete gun ban. All right, now Thomas wouldn't have a gun. He obeys laws. Annie, you would obey the law. I would obey the law. Who wouldn't obey the law? Criminals. Hello, people who pay no attention to it. And those who are going to black market products in the same manner you see Prohibition where they did alcohol, etc. So Alan Keyes pointed it out by their own nature. Criminals don't obey laws. That's why they're criminals.
Right.
They don't care what the law is. So this criminal approaches Thomas. Thomas is screwed. He's probably dead. Criminal approaches Annie. Approaches me. Lights out. Because they have a gun. And what are we going to do? Throw our shoes at them? I mean.
Yeah, no. And then someone else came up with this brain idea is, why don't we have the guns locked? Okay. Do you know how long it takes when someone comes through that front door or your window and they have a firearm and your gun is locked up in a safe or in a closet in a locked box, or if it's got a trigger lock on it, then you got to run to find the key to unlock the trigger lock. Or they're saying the ones that have the lock that's fingerprint identification only. So if you buy a gun, it will only match your finger. So you left your wife home with your children, and this person coming in, and the gun is locked up, and the only one who could unlock it can't get to it.
Right.
So what's the good? What good does that do you when the gun only works for the husband and not the wife, when she can't be there to defend herself? You know, if you can't get access to the gun and it's locked up by the time this person comes through and blows you away. And then we had, oh, this genius, was it Pelosi? I believe she said it, and also I think Harry Reid came up with it also. It's that, oh, you don't need one of these AR-15s, the automatic rifle. You can do a single shot gun blast. Oh, does anyone know the difference of the damage between an AR-15 round compared to a shotgun blast? An AR-15 round is direct and small. A shotgun blast will go straight on through the door and scatter everywhere. So, you know, you don't have to hit your target. Just be in the vicinity, and he, sure enough, is going to have enough of the shot in him to hurt him. You know? But the difference is you've got a one-shot shotgun or one- or two-shot shotgun compared to a rifle that may fire, oh, say, a clip of 19 rounds. I'm going to go for the 19 rounds on the AR-15. You can keep your
exactly.
shotgun.
It's just
I haven't shot a gun in years. And I mean obviously, I support the Declaration strongly and the Constitution. But, I mean, this is just... Just this idea, you know, who sells illegal drugs? Drug dealers. Who's going to sell, who bootlegged alcohol during Prohibition?
The mob.
I mean, yeah, I mean, oh, please.
There's a comment up in the chat room. I just got a private message from Malcolm X saying disarming the black community would result in a civil war in the hood. They will not be disarmed by anybody. No community should be disarmed. It doesn't matter what the race or the makeup of the community is. No community should be disarmed, period. It is the Constitution. It is the Second Amendment. Everyone should have the right to defend themselves however they choose to. You know, whether it's an AR-15 or a small 22, you know, or a little six-shot, you know, revolver. You know, it's your choice. You know, no one should be telling you what you can and cannot buy. Look, they're doing it to our toilets and light bulbs.
Yep.
No community should be disarmed. And you try dialing 911 and getting help over there before that burglar comes in or that robber comes in and shoots you.
Not
it ain't
going to
happen.
My neighborhood, 911 is the morgue. You dead. I mean, that's...
No, and look at Detroit. Detroit is already telling people, we're not responding. You call 911. We don't have enough officers, and we're not going to go into some of those days because they're just too dangerous for the cops.
The city of Detroit, in the obviously the murder capital of the world, has gone from the number four populated city in the United States to between 11 and 18. So, mind you, it's lost 2-point-something million people. Yet it remains the murder capital of the world. So, you know, we should nickname that the West Bank or something. But, I mean, it just really, I mean, there's just this mentality. And I think the person who posted that Malcolm X or whatever, makes – can you imagine these police officers in the same Gestapo manner they did last week in Boston entering your house saying, throw up your hands, we're here to disarm you? I think they're right. One of the things you got to acknowledge, when people live in the hood, they don't care to die. I mean, life don't mean much to a lot of them. They'll fight. I mean, they just don't give a damn. And I mean that. I mean, what? Are these people just going to throw up their hands and allow them to be disarmed? Not happening. I mean,
it is
beyond ridiculous. Just this idea, we want to do another prohibition. We want to do another whatever it is, but with guns. This is just, it is insane. And to have this dummy I shouldn't say this dummy, to have this candidate outright say, I believe you should be entitled to a gun, but the federal government should have your name, all that info present. The Second Amendment is not just in there for the right of self-defense or the right to hunt. It is in there to kill government at the time of the Declaration when it acknowledged that out of extreme deposition or destitute to throw off government. That is why the Second Amendment is in there. The first priority of it is to throw off such government. I mean, and nobody wants to talk about that. As if, okay, times have changed, it can happen. Yes, it can happen. Governments corrupt throughout history. And 1,000 years from now, they may be reading about a revolution that took place in America whenever or however. But, you know, if we continue on this path, the only thing written in the history book is going to be the slaughter of the American people who basically were trying to fight with sticks and stones.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know if you caught this, but this was in the Blaze about 2 weeks ago. There's a Florida school district. There's this group of attorneys, a local group, and they go from each school, and they teach about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And they're basically teaching the kids what their rights are. You know, that government is restricted, and it's only allowed to do certain things. And beyond that, then you have the Constitution to protect you. Well, he went into this one school in Jacksonville. It was Cedar Hills Elementary School back in January. And this attorney came in, and he taught the lesson about the Constitution to fourth graders, you know, 8 and 9 years old. And a few weeks later, this man goes into his son's backpack and finds a crayon written paper in which his son had written, I am willing to give up some of my constitutional rights in order to be safer or more secure. Did you catch that? I am willing to give up some of my constitutional rights in order to be safer or more secure. This is not what this attorney taught. The teacher, her name is Cheryl Sabb, instructed the students to write the sentence after the lesson was over. This is going on in our schools, guys. This is what they're teaching our kids, that the Second Amendment doesn't matter. The First Amendment doesn't matter. None of the amendments matter. The Constitution is a living document. No, it's not. The Constitution is the foundation that this building we call the United States was built upon. If you destroy the foundation, then the entire United States will fall. And it's the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, or any of the amendments. If you destroy the Constitution and what it stands for, the freedoms and liberties we fought for, our forefathers fought for, and that what we're fighting for on this show, if you destroy that, then, you know, it's lights out, guys. Lights out. It's another grief.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Thomas probably want to follow up on there. That was beautiful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
I had no idea what I was going to say. I've got a whole mess of articles and just flipping through them. And these are things I come across, you know, when I do the research for the shows. And, you know, I'm up on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm trolling all over the Internet looking for this stuff. And something like this occasionally I come across, and it just makes me angry. Angry.
Well,
and last week we had on Cheryl Few, and she was teaching us about the Common Core teaching standards. And the more I read about that, getting ready for the interview, the angrier I got. And this is what the Nancy Pelosi's of the world want to do to us. They want to dummy our kids down. And if you dummy the kids down, that means there's no future generations to fight.
Well, and when you are constantly involved in wars, your country, I mean, we have seen throughout history what that does to it. Economy. So basically, when you are constantly doing that, you are also bringing down its economy. I mean, we are in year 12, 13, I don't know. But I mean, we're at a breaking point now, to where, on top of the wars, we have so much other debt And Ron Paul was right. I wasn't a huge booster of him, although he said a lot of things I liked. I think in many ways Ron Paul was part of the problem, just the simple fact that we don't have term limits. But he said something, he made a lot of sense on a lot of things, but he said if we're going to be a superpower militarily, the only way that can happen is if we're a superpower economically. And that's very true.
That's precisely right. And if you look at a country like Israel, Israel, when they first started, and they had a big government type of picture there. Everything was the government. Everyone was reliant upon the government for everything. Now they've completely reversed it and gone to a 100% free market economy. They are booming. They are the only nation in the Middle East that is economically expanding. Expanding. I mean, the wealth that they're starting to generate out of Israel is phenomenal. And they've done it by being economically strong, digging down on their debt, eliminating as much of the debt as possible, and then opening it up to free market with the least amount of regulations for businesses to operate in, the least amount of taxes. So businesses are begging to go there. And because of the influx of immigrants, as these other countries around them are collapsing, of Jewish people, you know, they now have sufficient workforce for any business that goes in there. And they remain strong militarily. They do it that way. They've done it economically, and they've done it military, and we've got to get back to it because they're using the practices and the standards that we built this nation upon, and that's what we've fallen away from, and that's what we have to get back to.
Dang, Annie, that's like twice. That's like, man, it's like grand slam home runs.
A timid person, you know, because they hear the interviews and they go, oh, she's not going to make a lot of controversy. She's going to, you know, go softball. No, I'm passionate about this stuff. And when I pick out the people to come on the show for the interviews, it's because they share a passion I have. And I just let them communicate it for me.
That's true. Well, Thomas, go ahead. Sorry,
yes.
Thomas. I think you were going to say something and I interrupted you a couple minutes ago. I apologize. And I private messaged you, Thomas. I need your new address so I can send you something. So go ahead. You're going to follow up on.
Well, no, I was just going to follow up on Annie talking about her passion about things. Because as you guys know, and Annie, you or Mike, I know that you guys have been busy, so you probably haven't had the opportunity to catch any of my shows in terms of me actually sharing my full story pertaining to the abortion issue and what happened to me. And a lot of times you guys are used to me talking about politics and that whole thing, and I'm pretty passionate about politics. But one thing, this past Sunday with my pro-life conference, which is coming up here in June, one thing that I said, I told people, I said, you know, we talk about we're Christians and all this, that, and the other. We're pro-life, all this. But when it comes down to it, are you going to put your money where your mouth is? And the same thing can be applied to, you know, what you're talking about here. We're talking about we're pro-Second Amendment. We're supporters of conservative values. But when the current administration or someone on the other side says boo, we're running for cover. Now, and I made this statement on my radio show, and I said, you know what, when it comes to the issues of life, when it comes to the issue of faith and standing for what is right, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm willing to die for it.
Yeah,
and in the end of the day, it comes down to this. And Annie is right, and so are you, Mike. You can talk as much as you want, but are you willing to truly stand up for what you believe in, even if it means that you could potentially get hurt? Why can't we look at it like this? A lot of conservatives and people, we're running around with our hands wringing thinking, oh, they don't get us. Watch out for the government. They need to fear us. And that's all I have to say about that.
No, it's true, and I think that's why the Republican Party is afraid of the Tea Party and true conservatives. You know, the CPAC convention they just recently had, the RINOs packed it with these softball players, and a lot of true conservatives are really, really, really pissed. And they said, this is not what we came here for. This is for conservatives. And they're afraid. They're afraid to go back to our original founding principles of the Republican Party. Because if they do, then they will not get reelected. They will not get all their little fat cat contracts. And they will lose their standing in politically. They deserve to. They deserve to. It's time for us to stand up and kick them out. Bring in people like Dan Bongino. And I reached out to this new kid. He's only 23, 24 years old. He's running for the Senate up in Virginia. His name is Ron Meyer, and he's going to be coming on the show, one of the shows in the future. We're just trying to square down a date on this one. Listen to this kid, folks. Listen to this kid. Go on to YouTube. Look for Ron Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, running for a seat up in Virginia. He will be 26 come Election Day. So when he gets sworn in, he will be 26 years old and constitutionally eligible to sit in that seat.
Wow.
We need kids like this. We need the young guys out there that feel the same passion we do and stand up and say, you want your voice heard, send it through me. I'm willing to fight the same fight you want.
Annie, let me say this real quick, because I know you just said we got 8 minutes left in the show. Speaking of Virginia, Ken Cuccinelli, get behind him for governor in the state of Virginia. I know that the Frederick Douglass Foundation, the national, our national organization, we are throwing our hat behind him because he is conservative, he is principled, and he's straight across the board. So get behind him for governor in Virginia. I think you have reached out to him before and interviewed him. Didn't you guys interview him at one point?
No, I was trying to, and because he was going through that constitutional challenge, he was tied up with court and everything, couldn't get through.
Okay.
But I'm going to try to see if I can reach out to him again. Thank you for reminding me. I'm making a note now. Oh, man.
Well, something too, that we have to remember is that when the Declaration of Independence was written, we can change the Constitution. There is a legal way that the powers that be between the executive...
You can't change the Constitution.
The
you can amend it. That's
amend
the difference.
It. You can amend it. Okay, correct. Now, you can amend it. Okay, now, keep in mind, there are certain you cannot take certain things out of it. And one of it is the following. The Declaration of Independence, which I hold beyond esteem, that's the most important document, and I believe it supersedes the Constitution. Because in the Declaration, it advises its people to remove government. But it says the preservation or the pursuit is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, you bring up a very, very important point there, because when you quote that part of the Declaration, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that phrase is exactly the reason why we have the Bill of Rights. It's because of that phrase in the Declaration of Independence, the founders in 1791 decided we need to reaffirm that part of the Declaration. It is such an integral part of us that they created the Bill of Rights based upon that small phrase.
Amen. And, you know, it was written after several thousands and thousands were killed fighting for the Declaration. I mean, it just, and what we have now is just we are allowing the politicians to violate our Constitution, not have to follow the Constitution, or create a national emergency to where they can circumvent the Constitution, supposedly temporarily only. But, I mean, these are the things that
Yeah, I just want to bring up one small point before we take off for the week, dealing with the Constitution. When you're talking about amending the Constitution, if you're out there listening, be very careful. There is a new attempt at trying to get a constitutional convention. Don't fall for it. They're offering this thing for a 28th Amendment. Do not fall for it, folks. If you have a constitutional convention, there are no laws. There are no guidelines. There is nothing to prevent them from using that constitutional convention. If you want to bring up for a single amendment, they can then hijack the entire convention and rewrite the entire Constitution. It is no restriction. Check out what the heck is that name of that website that Phyllis Schlafly has? Check out her website. I forget what it's called now. Oh, forgive me. But we already have
GreatGov.
No, Phyllis Schlafly.
That's Eagle Forum.
That's right.
Forum.
It's Eagle Forum. Eagle Forum with Phyllis Schlafly, and she makes a great argument for it. And she explains that it could be a runaway. It could be an excuse for Obama to put whomever he chooses as a delegate in that convention, because there's no restrictions. There's nothing that says how you choose the delegates, or that if each delegate chosen by each state has to be of all one political group, or a different group, or an elected official. There's nothing that says that he can pack it with whomever he wants. Now, if you're saying government needs to be, our senators and representatives have to follow the same laws that we follow, that's in the Constitution. We just need to enforce it. It's the 9th and 10th Amendment, on top of which that was reinforced back in 1995 with the Constitutional Accountability Act. That needs to be enforced. And every time a senator or a representative violates the law and the Constitution by behaving outside of the law, whether it's through Obamacare or their retirement system, hold them responsible and get them to obey the law. Enforce the current laws. That's how it works, guys. All right.
Man.
I'm
going to
rip.
3 for 3. Thomas, man, did you hear that? There's some damn.
Woo.
Well,
let's go. I don't sound like me.
All right. Well, I'll just let everyone know, we'll be back here on May 3rd, which is Yanni's birthday. We're going to have Colin Heaton. He's got a brand new book out, The Four Boer War. And the following, we're going to have next Tuesday, Niger Innes of the Project 21, the Congress of Racial Equality.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. On the 10th, we're going to have B.K. Eakman. She worked for the Department of Justice. She's an author and well-known speaker. And her new book is called Cloning the American Mind, Eradicating Morality Through Education. Does that sound familiar, guys? And then we're going to have columnist Trevor Loudon. And the following show, we'll have fellow BTR host, author, and commentator Kevin Jackson. So we've got a great lineup coming up.
Oh, man. Annie, you are... I we'll have to worry about those shows another time. I'm just like, dang, man, 3 grand slams, and it was just Thomas. We got to get this young pit bull over here in office. Damn, that was beautiful, Annie. I mean it. That was beautiful.
Oh.
People don't talk like that anymore. You know what the hell? What's going on? I mean, it was. You know, it's not scripted. It's just coming. It's just. Man.
Oh, well, I guess I shouldn't speak my mind too often.
Yeah, we better go. 60 seconds. Thomas, as always, thank you.
All right, see everyone back here on Friday. So have a happy, healthy week. Good night, and God bless. Until then, same bat time, same bat station.
Good afternoon, everybody.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense, the proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.